Girisham, headed by Indra, Adyam, the chief, who offered respectful obeisances. Oh, Panemu. In saffron garments. Madim Aswitam. Thus appearing to be the foremost of all. Munaya, Manaj, headed by Indra, offered their respectful obeisances unto Lord Shiva with folded hands. Lord Shiva was dressed in saffron garments and absorbed in trance, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. As explained by Prahlad Maharaj. When one is completely absorbed in the Adhokshaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the sense perception of materialistic persons, one is situated in Brahmananda. And pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. Factually, he is always existing in his Satchit Ananda Vigraha. What is called attention. So one Nirvana or Brahmananda. Lord Shiva exhibited these symptoms, and therefore it is Yoga Kaksha is the sitting posture in which the such a man was able to deliver the demons from their fallen condition of life. The fallen conditioned souls to the platform of devotion. Appear as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Shiva has Om Gana. When the Vrindavan temple Shilpa zones around the world, but India was Srila Prabhupada because his disciples were always being cheated or the Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir or the temple of Vedic Planetarium or the temple of understanding that's referred to in the Lilamrita. And Vrindavan, which was also a struggle. He complained to Srila Prabhupada that I'm always mad and how much the people are ripping us off. And so I can't think of Krishna. And Prabhupada chastised him. He said, what did you think Arjuna was doing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? He wasn't sitting in meditation, just absorbed in the I'm going to kill. I mean, if he's not the greatest devotee. So, Prabhupada said, and we see it here. Lord Shiva is described as always thinking, always in samadhi. And Prabhupada explains here that Advaita Prabhu, who's the incarnation of Lord Shiva, is always thinking of ways to liberate setting up an organization, right? Creating a mission or creating a meditation on Krishna's desire. Krishna design and engineer opportunities for people so they can become Krishna conscious, which is what our society is all about. It's the meditation of Advaita Prabhu. So by extension, it's the meditation of Lord Shiva. Huh? Meditating on Krishna means meditating on Krishna's desire. If you're a servant of Krishna, right, then you meditate on what service Krishna wants. Is that right? If you're a servant, then what do you do? You go and ask the master, what would you like? What would you like? And as Prabhupada points out, you know, if he asks for orange juice, you bring orange juice, you don't bring milk. So a servant is attentive to the needs of the master. Manunam adyam manu, the service of Krishna. That meditation on service to the Lord, even though it appears, and you know, Maya means that which is not. In other words, we become bewildered and we think that Krishna's service is not related to Krishna. That's what Maya is. But when we're, and so we're left to become absorbed in the understood as, look at it from the mundane perspective. And so what we do should never be disconnected from Krishna. By pointing out the behavior of Advaita in the in Chaitanya Leela in Kali, in the age of Kali, and exhibited in the Sankirtan movement, all being manifest in this day and age. This is why the Sankirtan mission is so important, so valuable. You know, Prabhupada says that demigods are lining up to take birth in Kali Yuga to get an opportunity to participate in this thing. Because we do, because we forget our connection with Krishna. Right? And that's why we should have good sadhana. Our sadhana is in his form as taking on service to Krishna. Advaita Prabhu is looking around. We can solve the problems of the age of Kali. And so therefore he calls out to Krishna, Krishna, you have to come to save everybody. His program is, and so this is the greatest of all meditations, right? What is it? Yajantihi Sumedasaha, right? The intelligent people of Kali Yuga, the real intelligent people of Kali Yuga, will come together under the, or following the call of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to perform a Sankirtan Yajna, because that's the means of liberation in this day and age. And we've seen Vaishnavic communities demonstrating the principles of spiritual life, how to make spiritual advancement in this day and age. And part of making advancement is to participate in the Sankirtan movement. Because if you're making spiritual advancement, you understand, I'm not this body, then you're not this body, what are you? What's the answer? You're not this body, what are you? Namanita, what are you? If you're not this body, what are you?
Spirit soul.
Spirit soul, okay, spirit soul. We're all spirit souls, but what's that? What's the characteristic of the spirit? We serve our tongues, we serve our belly, we serve our genitals, or whatever, right? We're servants, first and foremost. And the perfection of service is to serve Krishna. Right? In that way we become Goswami. Right? You can't stop your mind from thinking. Right? Have you noticed? Try stopping your mind from thinking. happens. What happens if you try to stop your mind from thinking? You think about not thinking, yeah. It gets purified, that service. And then when the mind is purified, what does it do? It just automatically thinks of service to Krishna. Thinks of Krishna, right? And thinks of service. And in Advaita Gurudeva is an example, Srila Prabhupada is an example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is an example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six Goswamis. Srila Prabhupada is the emblem of, he's the Senapati Bhakta, the commander-in-chief of the devotees, who sets the example of sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna, studying the literature, or in Prabhupada's case, not just studying the literature, but writing books and distributing books, right? Chanting Hare Krishna, one of the first things that Srila Prabhupada did at 26 Second Avenue was go out on Sankirtan, right? Brahmananda maybe, right? And had his shaved head. Everybody else is in their jeans and you know, just what we call kami clothes. Kami clothes. One of the first things that's thoroughly purifying, right? So we can see from Prabhupada's example how he and from Lord Shiva, munayam adyam manu. This is his meditation. We need to maintain our Krishna consciousness so that all that we do is connected to Krishna. As we don't get ourselves into that lamentation, you know, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that lamentation is a symptom of a sudra. Right? Oh, why is this so hard? And why are there so many obstacles? And life is tough and nothing ever goes right and everything's always wrong. Huh? Have you noticed that? Isn't there always something going wrong? Huh? This is the art of being a devotee, you know, there's always something going wrong. You can moan and groan and carry on till the cows come home, right? Because there's always something wrong. But that's not the mood of a devotee. You know, especially in the preaching in India, Prabhupada faced so many obstacles because of the difficult, you know, the nature of the environment there. The devotees are always getting sick and they're always getting ripped off. They made an agreement with the Juhu property. They basically gave it back, despite Prabhupada telling them, "Don't do this." This is what they did. Gave it back. Oh, it's too hard. We can't do this. And you know, for many good reasons, like insurmountable obstacles, the gundas threatening them all the time, the legal battles that seemed insurmountable. Yet Prabhupada remained steadfast in his convictions, focused on his desire to offer Radha Rasa Bihari their palace, their temple. Huh? Prabhupada just had that. So that's the mood of a devotee, despite the obstacles, despite the setbacks, despite the challenges, always remaining focused on rendering the service, keep doing the service. Krishna will facilitate our service despite the obstacles, and there will always be obstacles. So this is the meditation of a devotee. This is the topmost thinking, right? How to preach and how to give others an opportunity to be engaged in devotional service. So we shouldn't think that what we're doing is mundane or material. But we should practice so that the sadhana and the seva is actually all sadhana. It's all sadhana. Not that there's a difference between my sadhana and my service. That's already maya. But to see a difference, right? All this stuff that disturbing my meditation on Krishna. Right? This is what Siddhartha was saying to Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada, you give me all of this service and it's disturbing my ability to think about Krishna. That's what he's saying. And Prabhupada said, no, you rascal. this is your samadhi. No? Samadhi asrifam was hard for us to take shelter of. That's our samadhi. No? This is our samadhi, in the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I tried that on my family. I told them, I said, look, if you don't want serenity, it's like, huh? So I spent years reading my family. And I learned a big lesson. I learned that if you just preach the Bhagavad Gita straight to people who are not ready to hear, right? They're not ready to hear. Maya Rita Jnana. Many people are like that. We're caught up in our iPhones and our, hey, don't you know who I am? Yeah? So they're thinking that one thing, they're not thinking, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm a searcher. Many ways to engage people. That their hearts are changed. Right? Yes, we can preach, but we've got to preach to people who are first of all ready to hear. Right? That's why hearing is the beginning of devotional service. And hearing the inquiries of others is essential. And if they're not inquiring, then we know. What's the ninth offence? Is it the ninth offence in chanting Hare Krishna? What is it? To instruct the faithless. Faithless, yeah. It's an offence to preach to people who are not. Hear it. The device says it here. It is impossible to conceive of the existence, name, form on the material platform. When we hear of the spiritual persona, yasya sakamen, this is what we sing every morning. What kind of person is that? It's not that me. So when we're thinking from a material mundane platform, and then we're presented the personality of Godhead, we just have to be situated at all. We have to be very attuned to the state of the materialistic men. Is what a devotee does. We're attuned to the consciousness of the materialist, but maybe not direct. Who likes it? We're putting our hands up for surrender because we know, hang on, that might be too hard. No, this is what happens. So I'm going to open up surrender to divide. And you know, surrender, well, that's okay, Krishna Prabhupada, he's a pure devotee, but I'm not. No? And so therefore it's okay for. So we need to embrace, in order to surrender, we need to embrace the service. And embrace the service as if it's actually. Of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pavas. And sometimes the service will be challenging. No. Life is easy some days. I'm not sure how many. Out of 7 days a week, how many are easy? No, there are always going to be challenges. And to lament all of the difficulties, that means we'll always be in a state of lamentation, which is not the mood of a devotee. Utsaha nisaya dharayat tat karma bravartanat. Always enthusiastic, endeavouring with determination, patient. Some days we will not get results that we think are good, right? I remember selling full sets, and I'd approach people and I'd ask them to buy, you know, get them to buy a set of books, and they say no. We think, I failed. Right, failure. But then a year later they bring me out and they say, hey darling, you ready? I'm ready to buy that set of books now. Right? So the result didn't come until a year later. And we said that we should have gone by. He went to New York and he was praying to Krishna, what have you brought me here for? Right, this place is out of it. What have you brought me here for? So sometimes when we're doing our service, it doesn't look like we're achieving anything, or it even looks like we're going backwards. No? But we have to have that faith, that we're all part of the material world. It's all part of the spiritual energy. You know, just keeping the temple clean, for example. It appears to be a very mundane activity, sweeping the courtyard, cleaning the toilets. You can't get any, you know, in any society. Right? What is that? Toilet cleaner. It's the bottom. But, you know, it has an impact on people when they come into the temple and they see everything is spotlessly clean. And here's the thing, when we clean, it actually cleans our heart. We get purified. And when people come into a... You remember the first day you walked into a temple? Just, we forget this. Huh? Think about the first day that you came to the temple. Well, how did it make you feel? Are full on, aren't they? What more of that? Oh, more of that intensity, right? Well, in a minute we think, oh, bhakti. That potency of bhakti, that's what it is. It's Krishna's energy. Krishna's all attractive, so his energy is also in the world. He cannot. And people are trying. They're going to the cinemas, they're going to the bars, and they're going to the races and the footy and whatever, looking for that taste. They don't get it. You can only get it in that ecstasy, if you like, that anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipatam punam rittas vardhanam. It's a complete nectar, right? Punam rittas vardhanam, that we all like to taste. In the Sankirtana movement, we get it at the Hare Krishna temple. Now, if the devotees of the Hare Krishna temple are not happy with that, it is difficult, or there are challenges, because we're in the material world, it's designed that way. But that is our purification. Pavitram idam uttamam. Right? These are the materialists, because they can't appreciate it. But in the temple, we give, but also, okay, what do you like to do? Then it's pavitram idam uttamam. Yeah, basically the Sankirtan movement, the Sankirtan mission. And understand what our role is, what our part is to play. It may be just a menial role, but that's a That's enough.
That's Samaradhyana Sritam, right?
Shelter of that. Brahmananda. And what is, and that's defined as meditating on Adhokshuja, right? Mentioned here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not materially conceived. So the service at Krishna, Krishna's service at Krishna is not material. Advaita Acharya, who's the incarnation of Lord Shiva, and he's practically demonstrating what Lord Shiva's referring. Sankirtan Jagya Ki Jai. Thinking about service to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, let us have these ISKCON thoughts. Right? Because Prabhupada didn't see ISKCON as being anything separate from Krishna. So he's always thinking, what about the cement? He was a GBC, he had to worry about the cement and the construction and this and that and the other thing. Not mundane. The activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are not mundane, and so we shouldn't see them as such. It's not that they're mundane, it's because we are mundane. Our consciousness is what's the problem, not the society or the activities of the society. If they're performed in the right mood and in as part of the right meditation and as part of our sadhana. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Well, beginning to us, you service that, especially when you're very passionate.
So what?
You're very passionate.
So you are. We are.
We are. And
I think I still am, but anyway. Yeah? You're at least making some advancement. Yeah, but why not? As we apply ourselves, our consciousness will elevate, will be elevated to the mode of goodness and beyond automatically.
Yeah.
But as Prabhupada points out, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a competition between the modes. Yeah. And so we will feel the effect of the pushings of the different modes of material nature. But Prabhupada gives the example of the process of bhakti as being like on a boat, and we're trying to cross over the material ocean to go to the spiritual world, right? And so the influence of the different modes of material nature are like waves that crash onto the boat, right? And try to knock us off. We've got to stay on the boat. Because the boat of transcendental practice elevates one gradually above the waves of material energy, right? But we'll still feel the effect from time to time, right? Because we're in a material world, so it's not that. You know, sometimes people say, oh, Prabhupada's a pure devotee, you know, it was easy for him, but we see it wasn't easy for him, right? It's never easy for anybody. It wasn't easy for Prahlad Maharaj, you know, to be, talk about child abuse, right? Hiranyakashipu is the king of the child abusers, right? When you think about it, well, he got his mother to feed his son poison. She knew, he knew, dad knew that he was trying to kill his son. Right? So, yes, but the process does work. We embrace the sadhana. Or so we say, if we're a immature or not practiced devotee, then we've got to ensure that our sadhana is very strong so that we can appreciate all that we do after is sadhana. Otherwise, the tendency will be to see it as some material activity.
Just this point on surrender.
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 Yeah. Who likes surrender?
It's sometimes when I think about it, my mind goes towards neglecting the body.
Neglecting the body. Yeah, well, that's not surrender necessarily. That's just foolishness, isn't it?
So what does it mean?
Yeah, because we think surrender means giving up everything. And then we throw away things that we should actually use in Krishna service, like a good night's sleep, right? You know, if you've got emotional problems, right? What's the best way to cure an emotional problem? Have a good sleep. Huh? And you have a good sleep and you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, what was I worried about? You know, there's this huge obstacle the previous day. You go to bed, go to sleep, have a good sleep, wake up, and then you look back and you think, what was that all about? Right? Have you ever had that experience? Yeah? Have you had that experience? The girls have had that experience. I know. Oh, I feel better now. Whew. Forget about everything that happened yesterday. Right. Let's go. Right. Yeah. So, are we? No, what is it? No eating. No sleeping. This is all a sign of advancement. But it may not be. It might just be a sign of stupidity. What happens if you don't eat? Just like one of my close friends. One of my closest friend is going on a diet. So watch out. Everything I do now is wrong. See, most people, when they go on diets, they get angry quickly. Are you okay? No, I'm hungry. You try dealing with an hungry person. Right? When you have a child, we got any mothers here? No? What's your first preoccupation with a child? There's no mums here.
Only mother had to go out.
You got to feed the kids. You got to feed them, right? If you don't feed them, what do they do? Right? Then after they're eating, you've got to get them to go to sleep. So they can digest the food. So that they can wake up again and be hungry. Yeah. So Fagu Vairagya. It's a show of renunciation. Whereas bhakti automatically gives rise to Vairagya. Automatically. But what happens is we see the symptom of bhakti, vairagya, and we think, oh, if I cultivate vairagya, then automatically I'll get bhakti. It doesn't work like that. Bhakti gives rise to vairagya, but vairagya just makes you hard-hearted or angry or frustrated. Right? If that's what you're concentrating on, thinking, oh, yes, if I demonstrate vairagya, I'll be a great devotee. But you know, my favourite story is, you know, the devotees who, when they come to the temple, especially the girls, you know, they start eating prasadam. Right? But then, let's start. What happened? Oh, I've got to stop moving. I should be renounced. Yes, that's what a devotee does, right? So then they get a little plate. Huh? As if a little plate will solve the problem. But it doesn't solve the problem, it just means the mountain of prasadam goes higher. The prasadam just gets bigger. Or, you know, the other devotees have put their stashes in the fridge in the ashram. They come back to get their prasadam and they discover that the devotee was on a diet, just ate it all. Because they couldn't control themselves. Ooh, no, I can't do it any longer. Oh, what's that? So yeah, false renunciation. And it's a learning curve. We think, I'm supposed to be renounced, but how come there's seven offerings every day? Right? And there's the milkshakes, and then there's the fruit, and then there's the breakfast, and then there's the lunch. And the best offering is the 9 o'clock. And you can't even eat it. Because if you eat at 9 o'clock, you can't wake up at 4 o'clock. So what's going on around here? This place is rigged. This place is completely rigged. It's completely against making spiritual advancement for the neophyte. Right? Everybody said it? Right, what's the best Mahaprasadam? It's a puri with sabji. Especially paneer, you know, eggplant, sabji. And when, I don't know about now, but you know, like Rajadasi, when he cooks at 9 o'clock, right? Don't go and eat at 9 o'clock. Don't even look at it. Because you'll be finished. And then you eat too much and then you can't even chant your rounds in the morning and then life is hell. For at least a couple of weeks afterwards. As you try to get back to your natural transcendent, you try to get your Paramahamsa platform back. Right? So what's going on here? It's just rigged. So somehow we have to embrace all of that and make spiritual advancement. And despite all of the perils, all of the dangers, all the obstacles that are placed in front of us. So, yeah, how to get the balance? The balance would be like a micro portion of a puri. Now, what we used to do in the old days was the 9 o'clock got put away, and so we used to heat it up again for breakfast. Because who can resist? But eventually, you know, after some time, you know, after 20 years or whatever, we learn to control the senses. We learn to eat prasadam as we require, and so it's practice. It's practice, and the process of bhakti will naturally elevate us. It will naturally elevate us. We'll try sometimes. And we're thinking, yeah, I'm making advancement now. But if we think we're the ones doing it, we're going to be brought to the point of understanding sooner or later. We're not doing it. Krishna's gradually purifying us as we engage in the process. And so, gradually, we're in the material world, we're on the boat of transcendental devotional service, but at the same time the material energy is designed to, and so the most material nature will be competing and influencing us. That's why we stick to the sadhana practice, because that's what will help us gradually rise above the waves of material energy that will crash over the boat. And so, and in the Bhagavad time it's mentioned how the spiritual master is recognized as the captain of the ship. and we surrender to the orders of the captain. Like when you're on a boat and you're one of the crew members, if the captain says, you know, jump, you say, how high? Right? Because the order of the guru is imperative in making progress. And Prabhupada set up this kind in such a way so it wasn't necessarily the order of the guru. The order of the guru is, okay, work cooperatively with your temple authorities and whatever. So that means the local devotees who are organizing things, we have to take their instructions. And that's even harder. Because it's not Prabhupada. When it's the guru sitting on a big seat, we think, oh yes, this must be the representative of Krishna. But when it's just the temple commander asking you to do a service, it's like, who's this guy anyway? It's hard for us to see the devotees that we work with also as Krishna's representatives. Do you know they are? And we volunteer. We say, Krishna, what do we say to Krishna? Radha-Balabha, I'm yours. Then Radha-Balabha says, okay, well, can you please go and do what Bhakti Man asks you to do? We say, what? Hang on a second, what's going on here? He's just Bhakti Man. Well, I mean, really, he's asking, who's this guy anyway? So how to see Krishna behind the workings of all of the devotees and see them as Krishna's representatives and see them and see the service from the transcendental point of view. That's an art. And that we have to apply ourselves to. Understand the seriousness of. What's going on here? And that's just our natural rebelliousness, as an example. And also, we rebel. We think, oh, you scum. It's just a material, it's just an organization, you know, it's an organization like all the others, it's got all of its faults, everywhere. We can see like that. But we have, that's Maya's trick. We actually have to see it all as Krishna's. Even the faults, of which there will be many. In the material world. Actually, you can even, Prabhupada says, you can even find fault in Krishna, plenty of them, and even in the Guru, the spiritual master, with the material conception, you'll find fault in everything. What do you think, Melinda? Okay. What do you think, Rupaji? What is it? Munayam Adyam Manam. What does it say? This is the greatest thinker. Munayam Manam Adyam Manu. Lord Shiva is the greatest of thinkers. And in his form, this is a takeaway for the class today. We're going to follow in the footsteps of Lord Shiva in his incarnation as Advaita Prabhu. And be a great thinker like him. And that great thinking is how to save the conditioned souls. Well, maybe that's too advanced. How to save ourselves. Let's start with that first. But in order to do that, we actually have to think about others. Isn't that interesting? Okay, Gandharajana Bhagavatam ki jai, Mahaprasadam ki jai, Guru Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Puri, what is it? Puri and 9 o'clock, Maha ki jai. But don't go near it. It's for Krishna.